Right, you're good to go. All right. So hello everybody and welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I am your host, Danielle C. Baker. And before we get started, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And of course, this is season three, so I do invite you to have a look at the two previous seasons. There may be some topics there that may resonate with your reality today. So have a look at that. We're going to jump right in today with my guest. I'm really excited. This is a topic that I hold dear to my heart, and it's funny because I've been in the education system for a couple of decades, but we're going to be talking about homeschooling, and I have Chris Linder with me today. He's gonna, of course, going to talk about his experience in the homeschooling, and so we'll jump right in. Thank you so much, Chris, for
Oh,
coming
thank you
on and
for
joining me
having
today.
me.
Before we get started on the topic, can you talk a little bit about yourself and how you got to where you are today?
Sure. I started out, I had a weird kind of upbringing. I started out in a small charter school where we worked on our own in little cubicles, worked on little booklets called PACES. And that was my elementary education. And I didn't see the inside of a regular classroom until middle school and high school, where I had some great teachers who taught me about expressing myself through writing and critical thinking and things like that. But my formation was really self-guided, so I was really more comfortable with being on my own. I got into radio broadcasting, did radio for a while, and then left the country to teach English in South Korea. And I taught in a little language school, a Hagwon, and I taught like before the kids would go to school or go to their college classes. And we taught like in the morning, and then we taught late at night. So there I kind of got the impression that kids would learn extra things if they were motivated to learn. They were motivated to learn English because they were able to understand movies better. And of course, you know, we have popular culture from the West kind of creeping over and taking over the world. So they wanted to have better opportunities with professional, you know, their professional careers and such. So they were motivated to learn English, and they didn't mind going to school even more than their normal traditional school to do it. So
Nice.
after I got back from Korea, I still wanted to kind of do radio, but I was also teaching on the side. I was substitute teaching, and then I just started teaching high school English and did that for a few years. And I got my master's degree in instructional technology. And long story short, and I know it's too late, but after COVID, I realized that our kids didn't want to. I have two kids, and one thrived in the classroom and didn't get used to teaching. I mean, didn't get used to learning at home. And the other one loved remote learning. But I realized that I needed to supplement what they were getting in school with some extra help, especially like in algebra, which I wasn't good in, but they needed help with that. So I found some curriculum that would kind of help teach that. And I realized that if I could come up with a system that would help teach or supplement what they weren't getting in the classroom with kind of home learning without fully diving into homeschooling, then this would be a system that would work for a lot of single parents, a lot of marginalized communities around the country. So came up
You
with
bring up a
Homeschool Remix.
really good point, as I kind of lived through it with myself with my kids during COVID, is that the distance learning. I think it that's why the topic of homeschooling or micro schools or all these mini pods came up during COVID because parents realized how their kids reacted differently with remote learning. And I found that out from one of my youngest, who was a high performing student, come to realize that he was a social student. So what got him going was that little competition that he had with his friends at school, where they would just kind of egg each other on to do better. So when he was remote learning, he couldn't function anymore. He had a really hard time with it. So that surprised me. But the hybrid option is also something that people don't know that they have access to
Yes, and
now, which is
it's
great.
really opened up a lot of doors for a lot of parents. And yeah, they don't realize that that's even an option. They either think, well, I either leave my kids in school and trust the state to basically teach them all they need to know, or I pull them out and, you know, the responsibility and burden of homeschooling is all on me. And really there's a third option, and that's what hybrid homeschooling is. It's the what it looks like is basically you leave your kids in school, and you can either leave them in school full time or 2 or 3 days a week, and then you supplement that with 1 or 2 hours a day, or even a couple of hours a week of just targeted learning in subjects that either they're not getting in school or they're not doing well enough in school. So it's
I
just
like that.
basically like, you know, just helping them out where they need it.
And that's great because every child learns differently too. So you can really go and pinpoint what your child actually needs. So I really like that. I want to bring that because it's something we talked about before when we first met was parents who have considered homeschooling their children, but they're like, I don't know anything about teaching. I'm not that good, or my kids don't listen to me. What is, can you give us some tips or some wisdom on how to get that confidence as a parent to say, I don't need to be an actual
Sure.
professor to be doing this? Can you kind of walk us through that for the listeners?
I think the first thing that parents need to realize is that they're their children's first and best, most natural teacher. They know how to push their buttons, and just like kids know how to push their parents' buttons and tick them off, parents know how to make their kids learn. They know how to connect with them. And that's something that a teacher who's in a classroom with 25 different personalities, they don't have the time or energy or the knowledge to really do, to really connect with each child on an individual basis. So that's number one. Parents already have an advantage. Subject knowledge, we give a lot of weight to that, but that's not so important. It's not as important as being able to teach your child how to learn, being able to model learning and critical thinking, and being able to find the answer to a problem, to find the answers to questions, and to be able to ask the right questions. So as long as a parent is able to teach their child the importance of learning any subject that they pick up, they will be able to teach them about.
I
So, I
like
mean,
that.
that goes a long way towards giving a parent the confidence that they need. You know, once they commit and get over that initial hurdle of, oh, I don't know if I can, you know, handle science. I in my own life, I knew I couldn't handle teaching algebra 2, because I didn't even take algebra 2 in high school. I took algebra 1, and I was like, okay, that's it. I'm done. But when my youngest child was having trouble and struggling with algebra, I had to find some other curriculum out there, and I found a homeschool curriculum that was similar to the curriculum I actually grew up in my little charter school,
Now, like,
just a modernized version of it. And I utilized that to teach Algebra 2 to my youngest child, and it worked. So I know that it can work. I know that it can work for parents. They just need to believe in themselves. And I know it sounds like a platitude, but you know, as long as they believe that they can do it, they can do it.
Yeah. And if they realize that they're struggling, there's so many other resources out there now that it's accessible. It takes the pressure off to say, I don't know anything about this. How am I going to teach my child? But there's something you can supplement with, or I'm not sure how it works in the States because I'm up in Canada, but going back to that hybrid thing where students can take some of the classes online. So those algebra classes, those calculus classes, or anything like that, that you may struggle with a bit more, they could just take it online and have that interaction with a teacher as well. So you're not constantly teaching.
It's so flexible. Like it looks different for every family, because everybody has different needs. So if you're leaving your kid in school, at least part time, but even if you're leaving them the full part of the week, let them take those classes in school. Let them take algebra in school. And then you're giving them a little bit extra at home.
Yeah.
You know? So you don't have the burden of teaching the entire subject. You're partnering with the teacher to get the knowledge into the kid.
I like that. You're not always the bad guy, because that's the toughest part, I think, is homeschooling, is kids are not going to listen to you. So now you got to teach them. Yeah. What is, what would you be, because that's another thing that a lot of families think about homeschooling, is it's an isolated thing. You're always by yourself. You got to reinvent the educational system. What is your formula, basically, or what are your thoughts on that, on preventing you from isolating yourself when you're homeschooling and getting your child some kind of social interaction in the process?
It's a real big problem, because isolation leads to burnout, especially with people who are just starting out with homeschooling. There is a tendency to launch into it with all the expectations, and it's always the best laid plans of mice and men. And you have this schedule where we're going to study this for an hour, and then we're going to switch to that for an hour, and we're going to do that 5 days in a row, and so on. And that lasts for a week and a half. And then you're like, okay, what do I do now? Where do I find lessons? My kid isn't listening to me. The plan is ruined. And everyone goes through that initial struggle with homeschooling. The secret, I think, to battling that is to realize that you're not alone, to find other parents who are homeschooling or who are microschooling, or find a homeschooling co-op. There are other people in your community that are going through this same thing. There are Facebook groups. We're starting a group called the Seat Squad, and that stands for Support, Educate, Adapt, and Thrive. And basically, it's just a way of trading horror stories, trading supportive kind of sort stories, trading lessons, building a community. You have to find your community out there and connect with them. And that goes a long way, because you have to realize that you can't do it alone. Even teachers can't do it alone. But they have other teachers to kind of support them, and hopefully other parents. So as a parent, you've got to realize that you can't be the only person teaching your child.
That is so true. And you're right, because teachers have an entire school to back them up, a faculty, or, you know, the admin is there as well. So you taking that on is just a lot. This is unrealistic for you to think that you can do this all by yourself. So I like that. You also mentioned something, and this is what I really like about your philosophy on things, is the folding chair concept, where I don't know if you could elaborate on that. Where is this, like, if there isn't a seat for you, just bring your folding chair. Can you kind of go through with it?
Yes. So Shirley Chisholm had a quote where she said, if They don't have a seat for you at the table, bring a folding chair. It's basically about making your own space. And a lot of what Black and Brown students, marginalized communities have to realize about education is that there's not always a space for them, even though there's a lot of lip service paid towards making a space for them. But in a lot of ways, we have to make our own space at the table of education. And I don't want to get in my soapbox, but the educational system hasn't changed in the past 100, 125 years, and that's by design. It's really the goal of the educational system is to turn out moderately educated laborers to fill the labor force. And that's why most of the people who graduate high school only read at about a fifth grade, sixth grade level, and why skills like practical life skills, critical thinking, they're just non-existent in school. Financial literacy, things like that. So those are things that I believe that we believe that parents should supplement their kids' education with in a hybrid model. But
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm big on that too. And you mention it often as well, critical thinking, problem solving. What are your strategies in getting that and sneaking that in when you're teaching, homeschooling your kids?
with critical thinking, you can teach critical thinking in every subject, and you should be teaching it at every subject. And the way to do it is by asking not just surface level right or wrong questions, but asking questions that dig a little deeper and force the student to make a connection to their own life, or questions to where they have to think about and apply whatever they've learned. And that can be done with whatever subject you're teaching, whether it's a history subject, whether it's math, whether it's science, and what have you. So it's important to weave critical thinking into everything you're teaching. Also, just as important, creativity is just as important, creative thinking. And again, that can go into every subject that you're teaching. When I initially kind of formulated the framework, the Homeschool Remix framework, I tried to think of ways to teach critical thinking on its own. And I realized that was the wrong approach. I realized that wasn't a separate thing that needed to be taught. It needs to be woven into everything. So at the basis of all the supplemental subjects that I recommend, the method of teaching involves critical thinking.
And you're right. It needs to be into every sub. It's not a subject on its own because it relates to everything. That's what I like about it. And it starts young, as we used to do it. Even preschool level, to start off is okay, what do you think is going to happen? Instead of giving them the answers right away, or if you see that
Yes.
they always want to touch something that they're not supposed to touch, and start to get that ball rolling. And what
Yes, exactly. Ask
I did a
questions
lot
about
of
them.
work
Make them
in
ask
this.
questions.
Exactly, ask questions, open-ended questions, and see what comes up. But that's what happened a lot with STEM education when we switched over to STEAM, where we're adding the arts, and people are saying, well, why would we add arts to science, technology, And that was the whole debate of it's the arts that bring in the creativity, that the creative thinking, the problem thinking, the collaboration.
Right.
This
Thinking
you need
outside
to
the box.
think outside the box, and that's why a lot of people were just stuck on the math, the science, the technology, but this you need those, I don't like to call them soft skills, I call them human skills, of that, okay, we need to collaborate with people who are not on the same wavelength, that don't see the same thing, they don't have the same hypothesis. So yeah, it's into everything. It's into your language, math, history, just
Right.
history alone, to say, do you think that was a good decision? Did they think that they handled this right? What could we have done to make sure it doesn't happen again? Those kind
And
of
what
things. It's
parallels are you seeing now?
Exactly.
You know, yes.
Yeah, eggs. And kids love that, even at the young age when they're given that platform. I'd say you're putting them on the soapboxes. Okay, what are your thoughts on that? And just get everybody else
Exactly.
to
Because
say
we all
maybe
like to
they.
show off. We all want to show
Exactly.
what we've learned, you know?
Yeah. And that's when you get to know the quiet kids, the ones that don't necessarily talk, and all of a sudden they come up with something and you're like, what? Did that just come out of you? You know? So yeah, I love it. And you can do that at home, get that started at home so that when they are out there, they can speak for themselves and think for themselves. It's so important right now.
And have agency.
I could talk to you all day about this, but I want to talk because you do some coaching. You do help families within, who are kind of navigating that or trying to see if they can juggle the homeschooling. So can you talk a little bit about what you do? You briefly mentioned that you kind of plugged it into the framework that you're working with, but can you talk to us a little bit about what you do?
Sure. We practice folding chair homeschooling as if it's a martial art, as if it's a way of it's really our philosophy about homeschooling. It's being able to do successful homeschooling and finding resources, free or low cost resources that actually fit your unique family's needs, your diverse family's needs, whether you're maybe your child is neurodivergent and they need some specific things that will help them navigate school. Whether your child is LGBTQ or Black or Brown or Indigenous, representation is very important. So it's important to find materials that they're able to see themselves in, because it's so important. And it really results in better outcomes when a student sees themselves in the subjects and topics that they study. So one of the things I do when I'm coaching parents is work with them to hunt down resources that would fit their unique needs. And the other thing is really instructional design and helping them to, we talked about confidence earlier, helping them to realize that they can do this and they do have the power to do this. And also that, unfortunately, there's a stigma about homeschooling that, you know, your kids are going to be weird or they're not going to get socialized. So I have to, you know, kind of battle that a little bit and help them realize that, hey, that, you know, nothing could be further from the truth. But if you're worried about that, then one of the things you can do is partner with your kid's teacher. If you're in a hybrid homeschooling environment, partner with your kid's teacher, because at the end of the day, it's not about whether the parent or the teacher is better at teaching the child. At the end of the day, it's really all about how well the student is learning, you know? So really, as a coach, it's just all about, you know, presenting the options to the parent, realizing that family-centered education is the way to go. I really believe that the future is hybrid.
Oh, I agree with you because it does, like you said earlier, and even schools will say the parent is the first and most important educator in a child's life. So it's, and as you said as well, the schools were not invented to ed necessarily educate our children. It was just to create those factory workers. And then, we
And
needed
once in a
those.
while, you know, one or two will fall through the cracks and accidentally, you know, thrive, accidentally go off to college and thrive.
That's right. And make a
But
change in the world, But they have more chances of accomplishing that when they're supported by people who know them very well, who can customize things to their needs. Because, like you said, I work a lot with neurodivergent children, and it makes a big difference when they're in an environment that is created to make them want to learn as opposed to make them hate it. So it's such a huge thing to have that with your coaching. To support those families, to say it's not a cookie cutter way of doing it. Let's find what you need. So I really appreciate the work that you do. Can you kind of share with us how people can contact you if they wanted to
Sure.
work with you or learn more about your approach to homeschooling.
Sure. Please check out the website at homeschoolremix.com. And from there, you can get in touch with me and you can learn more about the program. You can buy the book and you can also sign up to join the Seat Squad, where we, connect with each other and talk about folding chair homeschooling, talk about hybrid homeschooling, and share resources and so on. So it's homeschoolremix.com.
That's
And
great.
can also follow us at Homeschool Remix on most of the socials. We don't do X. And also homeschoolremix.substack.com is our blog.
Okay. That's amazing. I'll put all that information in the description so people can have a look at it. And before we wrap it up, you did mention your book. Yeah, can you talk a little bit about the book?
Sure. I wrote the book last year and it's probably due for an update because every time I look in the book, I'm always like, well, I probably, rethink that, or I'd probably focus on this a little bit differently. Like one of the things is I've come to realize that learning styles are a little bit different than we've all like, we were always taught that students would fit in neatly into these classifications of different learning styles. And that's not one of the things that, that's, if we've realized that that's a neural myth, that's something that's not really, really
Yeah,
true. It's really a
that's right.
spectrum of things.
Exactly. It's a
So,
blended mix of the those learning styles. So yeah. It's tough to explain that though, because everybody's so, no, this is the auditory box, this is the kinesthetic box, but they
Right.
can be
It's
both.
very situational and it's
Yeah.
different at different times and at different stages of the student's learning. So but for the most part the book is the book is good. But there are some things that I look at it as a living document and I think that I would go back and maybe a second edition would be coming in the spring, I think.
Yeah.
But definitely as a basis, I would suggest getting the book Homeschool Remix and looking through that and then kind of just looking for ways to adapt that to your own personal and unique needs.
Yeah.
And we can help with that.
I like that. It's always a good sign when you say that there's room for the book to evolve, because that's really all education is, right? When you're lifelong learners, you learn along the way that there's some things that can be changed, but you could
Exactly.
just have a whole series that, depending on what people need, like that. So I'll put that information in the description as well. Before we go, I do ask a question. I think I prepared you for it, but the question I ask all of my guests is, what would you like to be when you grow
Oh, I love
up?
that question. When I grow up, I want to be a movie screenwriter.
Oh,
I would
nice.
love to write a screenplay for a movie and have it produced. And I wanted to do that for a long time and have never actually just sat down and knocked it out. I always had, like ideas for screenplays, but have never actually, done the writing.
Oh, that's so nice. You could do that. That's the creative side of you. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. It's something we always kind of put in the back burner, but that'd be kind of cool for you to
Yes.
start. Oh, that's awesome. I love that. I love that question because you never get the same answer. I could ask you this question 2 years from now and you could be completely different.
It'll be totally different. Yeah.
Yeah, because you'd already have your screenplay, you already have, awards on
Right.
it. So now what? But I love that question. So thank you for playing along, because I think it's such a fun question to ask adults. I appreciate that you shared that. There's
Oh, definitely.
so much more I could ask you, but I'm gonna wrap it up. Before we do, I'm gonna put you on the spot. Is there anything you'd like to add or some words of encouragement you'd like to share before we wrap it up?
Just really just all the encouragement in the world to parents because parents are under so much pressure and stress, especially now, and especially with the rollbacks of anything DEI, anything quote unquote woke, marginalized communities, the families are just, you know, seeing all the gains that we'd had in the last 50 years, kind of, you know, the pendulum is swinging back and things are getting rolled back. But just know that the next generation coming up, they're going to be all right. I see every time I talk to young people, they see what's going on. And I know that 5 years from now, 10 years from now, they're not putting up with the same stuff that's going on now. So I have that hope. When I look at my kids, like I have that hope. So I would just say, take heart, make whatever changes you need to make now to make sure your child is getting a good education, and just, you know, be optimistic.
Yeah. Oh, that's so important. Thank you for sharing that. Because that's where that critical thinking comes in. And to say, okay, what am I seeing and why am I being shown this? But you're right, the younger generations are definitely more, they're picking up on that a lot more than the older, the ones who are falling for it now are mostly on the older generation side, because the younger generations are going, how are you guys in charge? they're really seeing it going, this, you guys are strange. But you're right. There's hope there that history will not necessarily fully repeat itself, because we have a generation there that's ready to say, no, that doesn't work. That makes no sense.
Exactly.
So I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Again, I could keep you on forever, but we'll have to have
and
you
I could
on.
Talk to you forever, Daniel.
Yeah. We can just have this over coffee and keep going. But no, thank you so much. And at any time you want to come back on, I appreciate it. I know there's a lot of my listeners who are either wondering if they should go with the homeschooling, especially with the younger parents, seeing everything that's going on right now and the environment that the public school kind of gives now. They're really thinking of homeschooling. So there's always something there we could talk about. So I appreciate you
definitely.
Taking the time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Danielle. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for everybody listening. Don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. Don't forget to go check out Chris's angles as well, so you can see the work that he does. And until next time, stay safe, stay awesome, and we'll talk soon.